Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Coming up later on in the program, we'll have a review of the new David Fincher film, The Social Network. But right now, on the musical portion of the program, we're going to be spotlighting the music of composer John Morris. Morris is best known for his collaborations with director Mel Brooks, and those will be the collaborations we'll be spotlighting primarily on the program today. However, later on, we'll be checking out some of the more dramatic selections from Morris's career. But let's begin with a particularly entertaining collaboration between Mr. Brooks and Mr. Morris. This is music written for the Western farce Blazing Saddles, beginning with a title song performed by Frankie Lane. Enjoy!
Blazing saddle, he wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. He made his blazing saddle a torch to light the way. When outlaws ruled the West and fear filled the land, a cry went up for a man with guts to take the West in hand. They needed a man who was brave and true, with justice for all as his aim. Then out of the sun rode a man with a gun, and Barton was his name. Yes, Bart was his name. He rode a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. A torch to light the way.
That's music written for Blazing Saddles by John Morris. Morris had the opportunity to stretch himself musically over the course of his collaboration with Mel Brooks. As Brooks parodied a wide variety of cinematic genres, Morris also had the opportunity to parody the musical styles of those genres. Next up, he goes entertainingly old-fashioned with his score for Brooks' film Young Frankenstein. That's music written for the film Young Frankenstein by composer John Morris. Next up is music from a movie entitled High Anxiety. The film was a parody of Alfred Hitchcock movies, and though it wasn't too successful, the Morris score did a really fine job of capturing that Bernard Herrmann sound that accompanied some of Hitchcock's famous films. Let's take a listen now to some of his score. Thank you. That's music from High Anxiety, written by John Morris. Next up, we offer some selections from Mel Brooks' Spaceballs. The movie was, of course, a sci-fi comedy, and as such, Morris took a cue from John Williams' Star Wars score and Jerry Goldsmith's Star Trek effort, and came up with a suitably bombastic outing. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
And that's music written for the film Spaceballs. We continue spotlighting the music of John Morris on the program today with a couple of selections from my favorite Morris score for a Brooks film. This is music for Silent Movie, and of course the film only has one word of dialogue in the entire film, a few sound effects, but it's mostly carried by Morris's score, and it's a very entertaining, energetic effort. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're spotlighting music by composer John Morris on the show today. We've featured music from his many collaborations with Mel Brooks thus far, and now we're going to spotlight music from the more dramatic side of his career. This next score is actually something of another Mel Brooks collaboration, as Brooks was a producer on the film, but certainly a very different sort of movie. This is music for David Lynch's moving drama, The Elephant Man. And music so good it actually won Morris an Oscar nomination that year. Let's take a listen to some of it now.
Thank you.
some really excellent music by composer John Morris, written for The Elephant Man. Next up, we offer a selection written for a television miniseries adaptation of Nathaniel Hawthorne's The Scarlet Letter. This version of the story starred John Hurd, Meg Foster, and Joseph Sommer, and Morris's score is really just a lovely, lush composition. Let's take a listen to some of it now.
Thank you.
And that's music by John Morris, written for The Scarlet Letter. It's now time to move along to the movie review portion of today's program. We'll be reviewing the new film, The Social Network. And I have to admit, I was skeptical when I first heard that David Fincher was making a movie about Facebook. Sure, David Fincher is one of my favorite living directors. I regard his Zodiac as one of the best films of the past decade, but a Facebook movie? The idea seemed like such a blatant attempt at being trendy, perhaps this year's equivalent of something like The Net. However, once critics actually saw the film, they proclaimed it one of the best of the year. Does The Social Network live up to the hype? In a word, yes. The film offers a partially fictionalized look at Facebook co-founder Mark Zuckerberg, played by Jesse Eisenberg. We first encounter Mark as a student at Harvard University, where he's on a date with his girlfriend, played by Rooney Mara. They're engaged in a conversation that he thinks is going quite well, but which she finds obnoxious. She breaks up with him then and there. Frustrated and bitter, Mark storms up to his dorm room and lashes out at her on his blog. Perhaps feeling a misguided sense of animosity towards women in general, Mark then quickly proceeds to create a program that allows the male students to examine side-by-side photos of certain female students and then vote on which of the two is better looking. The program is such an immediate success that Harvard's entire system crashes due to the overload. This earns Mark 6 months of academic probation and the attention of quite a few people on campus. Soon after, Mark is approached by three students who are in need of his assistance. They want to create a social networking website for Harvard. Mark is intrigued by the idea and sees potential in it. He agrees to their proposal, but rather than working on the site they've requested, he begins building his own website with the assistance of his best friend Eduardo Saverin, played by Andrew Garfield. As Mark's website, initially called The Facebook, starts to explode in popularity, the students who gave him the idea grow increasingly angry and begin to seek ways to take legal action. Mark's life eventually enters a furious maelstrom of lawsuits, money, and betrayal, all underscored by the meteoric success of Facebook. As I was browsing the reviews of The Social Network in the days before I saw the film, I noticed that comparisons to Orson Welles' Citizen Kane kept popping up. Generally, a favorable comparison to Citizen Kane is some sort of critical hyperbole, indicating that the film in question is one of the greatest ever made. But in this instance, it's entirely appropriate. Not because The Social Network is one of the greatest films of all time. It's remarkably good, but anything beyond that shouldn't be stated without a reasonable passage of time. But rather, because it often plays like a modern-day remake of Welles' great film. Like that film, it's a character-driven movie with epic themes that finds its power in very intimate moments. It's somewhat astonishing to consider what the film achieves in its lightning-quick 2-hour running time. There are more ideas and layers to consider in this film than in any other I've seen this year. The two men primarily responsible for the film's success are David Fincher and writer Aaron Sorkin, two consummate professionals whose many successes far outweigh their failures. The Social Network finds them both at the peak of their powers. Fincher once again demonstrates his superb dramatic instincts and tightly controlled attention to detail, while Sorkin's customary intelligence, wit, and passion are freed from the heavy-handed sermonizing that sometimes drags down his work. The film is absurdly tight on a technical level, from Jeff Cronenworth's elegant cinematography to Kirk Baxter and Angus Wall's crisp editing to the atypical effective score by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. And yet, for all the film's technical virtues, which pretty much guarantee it will earn a boatload of Oscar nominations this year, The Social Network's resonance largely lies in the intense emotional undercurrent beneath this breathlessly paced saga. Much has been made of the fact that the film's portrayal of Mark Zuckerberg is not exactly flattering, but what should also be noted is that the portrayal is by no means unsympathetic. Some may regard him a spiteful creep, but I found him a well-intentioned, intelligent, ambitious young man whose social inhibitions and relationship problems caused him to make a couple of crucial mistakes. Plenty of good people make the sort of mistakes Zuckerberg did. It's just that his mistakes involved a lot more money and publicity. Jesse Eisenberg is a terrific choice for the role of Mark, depicting him as a young man whose wheels are spinning so quickly that he's almost always many pages ahead of everyone else in the room. He's unstoppable when he puts his mind to solving a technical issue or developing an idea, but he seems awkward and uncomfortable when confronted with anything that needs a more personal response. This particularly hurts Eduardo, a fundamentally nice person who knows that Mark is his friend, but needs to feel it. Andrew Garfield is an actor who impresses me more every time I see him. His exposed nerve performance as Eduardo plays beautifully against Eisenberg's deeply introverted work. Justin Timberlake is also spot on as former Napster head honcho Sean Parker, as Timberlake's rock star energy is perfectly suited to the film's most colorful role. I can't recommend The Social Network highly enough. It's an ambitious film that succeeds on every level, from its blazing opening act to that devastatingly perfect final scene. Go see it now. I give it a rating of 4 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you enjoyed the show. I want to thank Michael Staley for his assistance in putting this particular program together. And I want to invite you to join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. We close out today with the great Amy Mann. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
There's no charity in you, and that surprises me. I guess I thought you were a golden idol, 'cause I called you majesty. On the balustrade you watched me hunt for tips I was obliged to pick up from the past scene. Hey kids, look at this. It's a fun. Could have objections, which you could owe.